If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Hello there. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God. I just gave you an atypical greeting there, and some of you are saying, wait a minute, what's going on? Hey, we're glad that you have joined us here on the Refresh Radio program today on September the 15th, 2022. We want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air, Heat and Electric in Rockledge, Florida, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. Wyrick Air has been providing professional sales, services, and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. They work in residential and commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services, write this number down, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. So when you need their services, you'll have the number right there to call, 321-632-9538. Add it to your contacts list. I can't tell you how many people are moving into the area and they see things on Facebook and things like that where they post, hey, we need an electrician. Hey, we need an air conditioning repairman. You don't just want to, close your eyes and move your hand around and put your hand on something on a Google search and say, well, I think I'll try that one. You want someone that you can know, that you can trust, that has expertise and will treat you right. And those are the folks at Wyrick Air. And I encourage you to give them a call and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So today we're going to go back to the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And if you remember what Cornelius had told Peter in verse number 33, he said, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So Peter is getting ready now to step in to fulfilling what that mandate was that Cornelius gave him. We need to know what God has told you to tell us. There are two more things that are going to take place between now and the end of the chapter where the word command is used. That does not mean it's optional. It means that there's at least one person there that is living under a mandate, an assignment by God. Are you living under a mandate by God? I was talking with a minister friend of mine here a few weeks ago, and let's be real about the glorious eternity that awaits the saints in heaven. Okay, there's no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death, no more suffering, no more bills, no more mortgages, no more rampages, no more anger, any of those negative things. And I said, those are all wonderful, but I feel that too many people are fixated on the utopian aspect of heaven instead of the main aspect of heaven. What I mean by that is this: the things that makes heaven, heaven, is Jesus. It's the presence of God. And all of those other things that we just talked about, those are benefits that come to us because Jesus is on the throne in heaven. And I want to encourage you that you don't have to despise all of those wonderful things. I mean, streets of gold are great. Mansions are great. You know, a sea of glass is great. But being in the presence of Jesus is wonderful. And so let me ask you this. Are you preparing for for the presence of Jesus? Are you living under his mandate now? Because if you are not living under his mandate now, what makes you think you're going to enjoy living under his mandate forever? There are things that God has in store for you. Purpose actually brings greater enjoyment in life. Now, and with what I do, the ministry is an act of faith. I get up and I preach the word of God. It goes forth as seed and it gets implanted in people's hearts. And sometimes you see people that respond to an altar call right away. And that is fantastic. But there's a lot of people in our churches that they're not going to get saved. They've already been saved. They are saved. They're being saved. And one day they're going to be ultimately saved. But that does not make the ministry any less important or strategic, because those words go forth as seed. And you can see that in the parable of the sower, where the word goes forth as seed and it makes a difference in people's lives. And so it may be years and years before you ever see any results from the ministry that you've done. For those of you who are listening on the radio, I may never meet you, but I pray that the word that goes forth from this radio program makes a difference in people's lives. So I live under that mandate. One day we had a work day. We've had lots of work days through the years. Now our building is in, you know, probably the best shape that it has ever been in since it was brand new. And we had been out there working one day. It was more than one day. It was several days that this project. And I remember that on the end of a Saturday work day, and it was late into the evening, that I went out and I just looked at the outcome of that project. And you know, it was something where I said, you know what, today I get to experience what a number of other people get to experience on any given day, and that is I get to see the results of my labor. And that instant gratification, it can bring you joy. It brought me joy that day. You know, when I first came to the church and I was working a full-time job, I was working the church full-time. I was pastoring the church full-time. I was working my job, pastoring the church, both of those things full-time. And I was also trying to be the best dad and husband that I could be. And there just wasn't enough Bob to go around to do everything that needed to be done. I'm so thankful that God brought me through that season. But in the nearly 30 years that I've been there, the mandate has never changed. Build the kingdom of God. Make the most of the opportunity that God has given to us at 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. If you are miserable right now, if you've got more complaining than praising, I want you to find the mandate that God has for you and get after it for the glory of God. Get after it for the glory of God. So Peter is now stepping up in verse number 42 of Acts chapter 10, and it says, and he commanded us. This is Jesus commanded us. This is the next level of fulfillment, where Cornelius said, tell us what God has commanded you to speak. He commanded us to preach to the people. To preach to the people. You and I are not called to preach to the walls. People are important to God. People getting their sins forgiven is important to God. God is in the redemption business, and he's in the people business. Now, you know, there was a person one time, and they asked a question, and they said, okay, what kind of business is GM in? And somebody said, well, they're in the car business. And he said, no, they're not. And said, what kind of business is this company in? And they named another profile company, and they said, well, they make this product. No, that's not their business. Their business is to make money using those other avenues. That is the business that they are in. If we ever forget that God is in the redemption business, that he is in the people business, then the church will have missed its mark. We are not in the building, let me put this different. We are not in the edifice building business. Means we're not just here to build buildings. We're here to build the kingdom of God. And that kingdom resides in people's hearts. Jesus is in the people and people business. So I constantly encourage people who are ministering to other people is say, look, this is not like being a mechanic. This is not like being a construction worker where you take a saw, a hammer, a nail, and a few pieces of wood, and you put things together and they automatically go into place. We're in the people business. We are to give them the truth. We are to pray for them. We are to pray for the Spirit of God to move in them. We are to pray for them to accept Jesus, but they have to activate their free will. And that free will is not only to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but it is to take their role, their place, their part in the kingdom of God. So when I was sharing here a few weeks ago in our discipleship series on impartation, I said, if you look at that word impart, that means you have a part or a share in the ministry of the kingdom of God. And so whenever God gives you something, he imparts it to you because now you are equipped with the tools that are necessary for you to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given to you. So he said, God has commanded us to preach to people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God. Here, again, this is Acts 10:42, and to testify that is he, Jesus, who was ordained by God. A friend of mine, we've talked, you know, through the years. He's probably my best friend in the ministry. We've taken the spirit of competition and destroyed it, and in its place, we implemented the spirit of cooperation. We're probably each other's biggest cheerleaders, biggest fans. Both of us pastoring, but we're not in competition with them. We're in competition with the kingdom of darkness. And through the years, we've talked about people who got into the ministry. I've got a different friend, and his mindset was this. He said, I've known a lot of people who called themselves ministers. He said, but I've very rarely come across one that I thought was genuine. He said, I consider you genuine. He said, most everybody else that ministers, I felt like they were used car salesmen that couldn't make it in the used car industry, and so they became ministers in the church. Those are his words. Those aren't mine. I'm just here to tell you. And so my friend and I, when we're talking about people getting in the ministry, he said, I tell them this, if you can run from it, run from it. But if you can't run from it, then you've got to run with it. There is a distinct difference between the public ministry that takes place from a pulpit and the rest of the aspect of the ministry. People look at what is the enjoyable side, what is the public side, what is the fun side. For me, preaching the Word of God, I think it's the most important thing that takes place in a service. But for me, that's the fun stuff. Very rarely does preaching put a stress on me to the point that I feel like it's turning my hair gray. It's the other stuff. It's the other aspects of the ministry. And here's the thing. If you get into the ministry in a place that you are not ordained to be, it will be a place of misery for you. But when you find yourself right in the center of the will of God, you are going to find that it is the most enjoyable place in the world to be. In the center of God's will for your life is a thrill. It's a joy. And so you've got to find that place where God has ordained you. So through the years, I've seen some people and they made some decisions, and sometimes I wasn't a big fan of those decisions. Sometimes I even let them know that I wasn't a big fan of those decisions. But what it appeared later on was that God was leading them through that season to get them to the place where he had ordained them to be. I'm telling you that you can't be short-sighted. There are seasons in my background where I don't know how God got us through that season. I don't know why he led us on the meandering path of ministry that he did, but I look back and what I thought were difficult seasons were actually essential seasons to get us to right where God wanted us to be. There are businesses that I worked for that them going out of business set me up for the success that I have now. God placing me. Jesus was ordained by the Father, now get this, to be the judge of the living and the dead. Peter does not say, this is something that I feel like I should tell you. This is what Jesus commanded me to tell you. All of the disciples are commanded to tell people everywhere that God has ordained Jesus, God the Father has ordained God the Son, Jesus Christ, to be the judge of the living and the dead. Now, I will tell you that word that I just shared right there, that was delivered under divine mandate by Peter to Cornelius and everybody in his household, it's the inspired word of God. It is the inerrant word of God. It is for us today just as much as it was then, that word is politically and socially unacceptable in 2022, but it's still spiritual truth. And therefore, I must preach it. I remember flying through I was on a flight. I don't remember where I was going, but there was a layover, and out of the thousands of people that are in the airport, I couldn't tell you what this lady looked like, but I could tell you what her shirt said, and that was this: "Don't judge me. Don't judge me." I've told you here on this program a number of times that the only verse of the Bible that people really know is, "Don't judge lest you be judged." They don't realize that, Jesus told people to go and sin no more. They're looking for a license to continue in sin, and Jesus is looking to deliver them from the bondage to sin so that they can live the righteousness of God. And so he says, everybody's going to stand before Christ, the judge. I've got a note here. There is a term that I guarantee you that it's not in the Constitution. It's not in the Bill of Rights. There are people who are, when they're looking to file a lawsuit, that they go and they do what is quote-unquote known as judge shopping. They are looking for a judge who will make a judgment. They already know that his judicial philosophy aligns with what they want the decision to be. And so they will go and they will file a lawsuit where the judge will be favorable because he shares their same line of thinking. In the kingdom of God, there is no judge shopping, because the judge in the kingdom of God is completely and totally unbiased. There's only one. There is not an appeals court, and then there's not a court above the appeals court to appeal to. There's only one. His name is Jesus. He's the judge of the spirits of all mankind. He is the judge of the living. He is the judge of the dead, and he is going to judge us. There are two judgment seats in the Bible. There is the great white throne judgment at the very end. But before that, there is the Bema seat, or the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is the place where believers are going to be judged. It's the place where you want to appear. It's the place where you are not there because you are accused of wrong conduct. You are there because you have been reconciled to the Father. Your sins have been forgiven. And there you are judged by what you did by faith for the glory of God. And there are things in your life that are going to be wood. They're going to be burned up. There are going to be things that are hay. They're going to be burned up. They're going to be consumed. But there are also things that are gold and metal and precious stone that when they are tried by fire, just like the wood, the hay, and the stubble, that they're not going to be consumed to the point of loss, but they're going to come forth shining as true gold. God is not unaware of the things that you do for him. He knows the things that we do, good, bad, and indifferent. He knows the thoughts that you think. You want to be before that. If you do not stand before him as forgiven at the Bema seat of Christ, there is another judgment seat when the dead are brought up out of the out of the graves and hell and the oceans and all of that sort of stuff, and that's where they are removed from the presence of God. That's called the Great White Throne Judgment. That's the one you don't want to appear before. That one, the judgment is already determined. It's more of a sentencing than a place. And there's no saying, well, God, you're a biased judge. No, the people there, the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You either do it voluntarily while you are alive, or you do it under compulsion before you're removed from the presence of God. But please understand, there is a day of accountability that is coming. You want to make sure that you are ready for that. Verse number 43, Acts chapter 10, Peter says, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. I'm probably not going to get all the way through verse 43 today. Let me just say this. Jesus came to fulfill all the law and the prophets. Not just the things that man could not do for himself. There were things in the original covenant that no human being was going to be able to fulfill every aspect. And if you violated one aspect of the law, you were guilty of all of the law. That's what it said. There's no varying degrees you're either a sinner or you're not a sinner. You either need forgiveness or you don't. Okay? Even the high priest, under the old covenant, before he would go in to deal with the sins of the nation, he would first have to deal with the sins that he carried around in his own life. Once his sins were dealt with, then he could go in and he could deal with the sins of the people, and that would last 1 year. And then the cycle would have to repeat itself all over again. There are a lot of people that understand that Jesus came to fulfill the law and do what we were unable to do. Okay, he raised the bar. Jesus fulfilling the law did not lower the standard, but instead it raised the bar and said, look, now there's no more excuses. You can do exactly what I've called you to do. Okay. The other thing that I want you to see here is that the prophets were not just calling people back into a right relationship with God. They were prophesying. They were testifying in advance. This is what I see the anointed one of God doing. And Jesus said, they're testifying about me, that what I'm going to do is already causing them to have a reaction of faith. Jesus was being questioned about something one time, and he said, look, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. Someone said that what the prophets of old did when they were looking down the timeline that God showed them was they saw the mountaintops. They saw the pinnacle events. They saw the glorious things that were going to be done. And I will just say this. When Jesus came, that the prophets were testifying about his first coming, they also had a lot to say about his second coming. And here's where I want to have us focus on for this last thought of the day. He is unbelievably accurate in fulfilling the prophecies concerning his first appearance, being born of a virgin in Bethlehem. He will be just as accurate, exponentially accurate, when it comes to fulfilling what has been prophesied about his second coming. Be ready. Don't delay. Because the prophets have seen what Jesus is going to do, and they've testified to it. And God had commanded Peter, saying, look, tell them what's been prophesied, because Jesus is going to fulfill that. He is coming again, and that gives us cause to rejoice. God bless you. Y'all have a great and marvelous day. Press on for the kingdom of God and tell others what he's done for you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I'm giving out something that I can't believe.